So this morning we've got a little focus on adoption. And we're so aware that this morning sitting here there will be people from all corners of experience to do with this topic. There'll be those who have been in care sitting here. There'll be those who have been adopted. There'll be those who perhaps have had their children removed from their care. There'll be those who serve in the services of working with these families. There'll be people here who have longed for their own children and not been able to have them. There'll be those who are carers or who know carers. And we're so aware that it's a really sensitive and can be a very painful subject that we're talking about this morning. It's a really complex one and holds a lot of hurt potentially as well as a lot of joy. But this morning, whilst acknowledging that, we want to focus on the fact that we can celebrate this topic too. Because God has placed our lives into his care. We are adopted into God's family. And he calls us to care for the widow and the orphan, the old terms that are used. To make a difference in this world with God's love that he has blessed us with, I pray that this morning that all of us will sit here and just be willing to listen to God and listen to how God wants to speak to each one of us this morning, to respond in the way that God is speaking to us. We want to celebrate our diversity. We want to celebrate our different stories. We want to celebrate the love that God has placed in us as his adopted children. And as each of us are adopted by God into his family, we also want to then remember that there's many other people who are needing that adoption and needing that care and that love shown into their lives, the most vulnerable. And so here are a few statistics for you. In the UK, every 15 minutes, a child goes into care. Many of those will have suffered neglect and abuse. All of them will have suffered trauma and a loss. Each of those children that are represented by that number are in desperate need of care. They deserve a home where they can be loved. They need a place where they can be nurtured and enabled to thrive, whether that's a short-term foster care placement or a long-term foster care placement, a kinship family member caring for them, or a new adoptive family. Last year in the UK, they needed to recruit more than 8,100 new foster carers simply to meet the need that was in place right then and there. That's how short they were of foster carers in the UK. It's not surprising then that most of the social workers placing children absolutely had no choice of where to place the children. There was no matching process in place. There was no ability to keep sibling groups together. They literally were able to only place children often in the places that were available, therefore causing a lot of disruption and extra pain for these children, being moved to schools or split up from their families or being moved out of the area simply so that they could be cared for by a foster carer. According to the most recent figures, there are 3,000 children in the UK who are waiting for adoption. That's 3,000 children who potentially go to bed tonight in a home where they're strangers, where they don't have roots. 27% of these children have been waiting for more than 18 months to be adopted. I can't even bear to imagine the impact of what that has on a young child's lives. There's many scans. If you go home today and have the opportunity, look online for scan results of a child who's been in care compared to a child who's been brought up in a safe, nurturing home. And what you see is that scans of a child in care, all the activity is at the back of their head, whereabouts we have our main brainstem and the main functions to keep alive. Whereas other children the same age, the frontal lobes are all working and making lots of lovely connections because they're in a nurturing, safe environment where they can explore their world, where physically they can develop, where mentally they can develop and emotionally. But these children who are stuck in care are struggling to develop because they are simply struggling to survive each day. It has a long-lasting impact on these children to be in care. Some more families are urgently needed. Why should these figures bother us? Well, I hope they do bother us this morning. Because God calls us as his church to care for the most vulnerable in our society, and surely children have got to be right up there. They need advocates, they need champions, they need families, they need us. I'm going to ask you to do something really countercultural for the English of us here. I want you to look around you, at each other. You can smile if you dare, okay? Catch each other's eyes, look around you. Some people you will know quite well. Some people perhaps around you you don't know at all. Some people you know well enough for a quick chat. But even those of us who we know quite well, it's almost certain that we carry with us certain secrets that other people here know nothing about. We don't know what happens behind closed doors. We don't know if family bliss really exists for the person sitting next to us, or whether there's arguments and anger filling the four walls back home. We don't know if someone here, even this morning, a woman or a man, might be afraid to return home at the end of this service because of what is waiting for them. We don't know if earlier there was a child sitting here who is holding a secret that they're not able to share with anybody else. We look around in church and we see happy faces. We portray to everybody else that everything's great. But for some of us here, that might not be our reality. And Vicky's going to be touching on some of that in a short while. We put on happy faces, and with the topic of adoption, I think sometimes we put on a far too happy, almost a saint-like quality for someone who adopts or fosters. That's not the reality. These children who are waiting, these 3,000 children who need loving homes, these children who are in short-term foster placements and need loving care, they're in need. Adopting or fostering is not an easy journey, but it is an utter joy. It's one of the best things we can do with our time, our lives, the things that God has given us, if that's what God is calling us to. I have a good friend who said to me when she adopted her two children, she said, "I thought we were going to be like Topsy and Tim. I'd take them home and we'd sit indoors and cook and bake and make things and just have a lovely time." She said, "It's not like that." The children, I'm sure probably no families like that, apart from Topsy and Tim, of course. But family life for them is difficult because the children have lived through trauma, they've lived through neglect, they've lived through horrors that we, most of us, know nothing about. And yet, now they're in a safe, nurturing environment. The trauma comes with them. It doesn't disappear. A baby that's adopted at birth carries what is called a primal wound that they're unable to express that they've been separated from their parent. And yet they carry that through life and it rears its head. It doesn't disappear. But we as Christians have so much to offer, don't we? We do have love. We have a God who is able, a God who cares. We have a God who heals, a God of miracles, a God who calls us to make a difference to our world. Is this something that God has been speaking to you about? You don't need to be married to adopt, but you can be. You don't need to own your own property, but you may. You don't need to be rich, but money can help. You don't need to be childless. You might already have six of your own children at home, but one of them's moved out. You've got a spare bedroom. In the UK, as we saw, every 15 minutes a child comes into care. They have, many of them, experienced neglect and abuse. They've suffered trauma. They've suffered loss. We were moved by that dog video by the RSPCA. How much more should we be moved by children who desperately need love and care and nurture? Is God speaking to any of us this morning to step into that gap as either foster carers or adopters? It's not an easy process. And again, we know people within our own fellowship who have applied and not been successful to go on this route. And if that's you, I wonder what God is saying to you this morning. When God closes one door, he always opens another door. Where is it God is calling you? This might not be your route to be a foster carer or an adopter, but if it's not, how is God speaking to you? What can you do? What difference can you make? Do you know someone in care? Could you start supporting them? Do you know someone who is a carer? Is there something you can do to make a difference for them? Can you use your time to serve in one of the children's groups here and bless the kids that we have here, because we certainly have children in care in our midst? Do you have extra time that you could use on a project in the community to make a difference? Don't let a shut door stop you walking through the door which God is opening for you. But at the same time this morning, I pray that people here are being touched by God's Spirit to say, open your doors. It's something that you can do. You can bring that blessing. You can love that child, because every child deserves that opportunity to be loved, nurtured, cared for. A thing that I personally find so hard in these conversations is that when it comes to children in care and 3,000 waiting to be adopted, the biggest percentage of those, sadly, are children who will never be adopted. And the reason that they're unlikely to be adopted is because they already have a known disability or a known additional need. I totally, utterly understand why, when people adopt and go into long-term fostering, want to take on children who seem as straightforward as possible, because none of these children, as we've said, are straightforward. They all carry a lot of history with them. But how heartbreaking that children can be not even considered because they're not seen to be perfect. I have a friend, one of my closest friends, she works with additional needs in a school down in South London. And for a couple of terms, she had a child in her class who was 7 years old. She had quadriplegic cerebral palsy, which meant all of her limbs were affected. She was in a wheelchair and struggled with communication. But my friend said she had the biggest smile you've ever met. But this little girl, after school every day, would return home to the hospital because there wasn't a foster care placement or an adopter who was able to cover her needs. Her home was a hospital. How can that happen in Great Britain these days? How can a child be returning home to a hospital? It's not a home, is it? Where's the security? Where's the love? Where's that mum or dad? Can't be right. And so this morning I want to ask, could your home be one of the places that God is raising up to care for our children in our society? Can your heart be opened enough? Have you got that opportunity? And not everyone does. Of course they don't. And it's not everybody's calling either. This isn't right for everybody. But is God speaking to you? Could you be praying for these children and for foster carers and for adopters? Is there anything you can do to make a difference? We're going to watch a really short video which talks about people who have taken up the cause.
There's no shortage of heartbreaking headlines when we look at the news of children in care across the UK. We hear of stories where children move more than 9 times in their childhood. That means 9 different carers. or we hear of teenagers who are in bedsits or in B&Bs rather than in families. More than a third of children who are waiting for adoption are waiting more than 18 months. This can be really overwhelming. We can come away feeling, what difference can I make? Home for Good believes that we can make a difference, that each of us have a part to play. And when we read Isaiah 1, it talks about taking up the cause. And for us, that is the vulnerable child in the midst of the wider call for justice. I have the privilege of leading the work of Home for Good in Northern Ireland. I meet lots and lots of people who are taking up the cause and making a difference. Here are some of their stories.
I suppose naturally I'm not really the most maternal person in the world, and I kind of had a lot of doubts and fears as to say, could I parent a child and a child that has maybe been traumatised as well? So there was a lot of doubts, and I always thought that somebody else much better than me would be able to take up this cause. But it was something that was really in my heart, and I had to respond to it. And for me, that looked like respite foster care.
As a champion, a Home for Good champion, I really want to see our church catch a vision for this stuff. We really believe that we have a role to equip our folk in church in the world of fostering adoption, and the foundation course was really helpful for us. It helped a small group of people explore these issues a bit more deeply, to look at the biblical foundation for fostering adoption, and we would love to see that grow and for this to become a church where more and more people feel comfortable talking about fostering adoption, and people who are carers can come and find support and welcome.
So when I was offered the opportunity to take part in the foundation course through church, I jumped at the chance to explore what it was that our part might be. So biblical foundation, really practical advice. We had a lot of people come and visit and share some of their stories, and I found their insights really helpful.
Caring for vulnerable children matters to us in Kirkpatrick Memorial because it matters to God. So in a church like ours, we're very keen to learn what God's heart is. And if we can discover God's heart, we want that to reshape our heart. We want to learn to care about the things that He cares about. And we believe that He really cares about vulnerable children.
To find out more of how we can make a difference, how we can take up the cause, go to homeforgood.org.uk/take-up-the-cause. We know that together we can make a difference. Thank you for the part that you're going to play to make that difference.
As a church, we are seeking to make a difference in this area. We do run a group for adopters and the families involved. We do have people in our midst who are carers and adoptees and in care. And we want to care for everybody, and particularly that group of vulnerable people worshipping with us. But today, I wonder what God is saying to you. I want you to think about it. I don't want you to lose sight of what God wants to whisper into your hearts today, whatever that might be. Hold on to it. Take it away. Seek God, because this isn't something we make a decision about from our heart. It's about something that God is speaking to us. And for some people here, it will have been a painful topic that we've talked about this morning for so many different reasons. And we want to encourage you to spend time with either friends in the church praying, or to use the prayer ministry team after the service. Or if you need prayer earlier and you need to leave, please head out to the front and people will pray with you, because we're so aware that people come from so many different directions over this kind of topic. It can be so painful, and we want you to know that God is in control, and God loves you, and God cares. We're going to just pray, and then we're going to invite Vicky down to lead us. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed our Father, that each one of us here knows what it means in one sense to be adopted, because you have taken us in. You've adopted us as your children. And God, our hearts break today for the need that is in our society, in our land, Father, we pray for those children today who are in care, who are needing security and love. We pray for the families that they've come from, that there might be a route back to making their homes safe and nurturing. We pray you'd surround those families with your love, that you'd put people in their lives who can help them to recover and to get their children back to a happy, a safe, loving place. Father, we pray though too for those children who are unable to return home. We pray that you'd raise up people, particularly from the churches, who will be willing to take these children in, to bring them home, to become family together, to experience the joy and the love that we find in family. Lord, we pray that you would raise up Christians across this country to make a difference, so that we don't stand here again saying that there's still 3,000 children needing placing. And Father God, I pray that you'd raise up more people who want to take in children who other people don't want to adopt. Children who equally need loving homes. Father, we pray that you'd raise up foster carers and kinship carers from amongst your church too, that poor people would be willing to open their doors shorter term and longer term for children who need a safe, loving, nurturing environment. But God, I pray too today for those people who sit here with hearts breaking or hearts full of anger or pain, who for them it raises so many other issues. And God, we pray that you would minister to them in a really special, loving way today. May they too know your presence, your comfort, your strength, and your hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.